Hi, this is Karin Zissis of ASCOA Online. In Argentina, more than half of the population has never had access to a non-cash payment method. But the fintech sector could change that. In this episode, we hear from Pier Paolo Barbieri, an entrepreneur and founder of Wala, a personal finances mobile app in Argentina. He tells my colleague, Luisa Horwitz, about how fintech is making waves in the financial services sector in his country, and why facilitating people's access to banking in innovative ways can transform Latin American economies.
You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en foco.
América Latina en foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
Hi, Pier Paolo, and thank you so much for joining us today at Latin America in Focus.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us where you are right now.
I'm at our offices in Buenos Aires, which are in the neighborhood of Palermo in the city, in an office that we just opened a week ago. So it's our new headquarters.
So you go back and forth from New York to Buenos Aires often, right?
Yeah, but I'm based in Buenos Aires. We're over 200 people in the Wala team now. And so it has grown so much that this is my base now. And although I miss New York and I love New York, this is where the action is for our startup and for our company. So very happy to be here.
Incredible. So let's talk about your endeavor, Wala, a little bit. So it's the first fully free card in the Argentine market. It's a personal finance management app, correct?
Yeah. So what we try to do is to democratize access to financial services. So we were born as an app to manage all your money. And that's why our hashtag is the future of your money. What we try to say is, look, the future of money is not like the past of money. And unfortunately, in societies like Argentina, over 50% of people have never had access to a payment method that is not cash. So what we provide is one card to manage all your money and one app to manage all your financial services. So we try to centralize it there and make it open and transparent for all users. And that has really resonated with our users.
And so the case of Argentina in particular, you know, it's a country with great developer talent. It's entrepreneurial, but it's also widely recognized to be an undercapitalized society and economy, right? Argentina is not new to economic instability, you know, inflation, a weak currency. These are all factors that have really hindered economic progress. And an underlying factor is suspicion, right? Suspicion towards the financial system. So this drives people to not participate in financial services. Also, needless to say, the cost of fees are huge. It's a largely a cash economy. There's a huge informal sector. And for example, it's almost impossible to get loans or save long-term for the majority of the population. So talk a little bit about the banking system in Argentina. And at what point did you understand the need for this technological solution in finance?
Yeah, so all those factors that you bring up are very true and they all feed on one another. So what I always have seen is that Argentina has an unusually small financial market as a percentage of GDP. In fact, on a per capita basis, we're far smaller as a financial system than, say, Peru, a country that has historically been at a lower stage of development than Argentina. And so Peru has managed to deepen their financial services sector. Chile has managed to do it. Colombia has managed to do it. Brazil has managed to do it, but Argentina has not. And so that has to do with inflation, with the lack of a time consistent macroeconomic plan, volatility, the defaults. And the truth is that when we were designing Wala, we asked people, would you trust us more if we're a bank or not? And unlike what would happen in most societies, what Argentine said is, actually, if you're a bank, I'm going to trust you less. So we built everything as a technology company that doesn't have a banking license because we never wanted a banking license. What we wanted to do is the future of money. And to us, the future of money is a platform that gives you the ability to have all of this access to services that are very, very different from one another. So since we started Walla, we have offered, you know, the lowest fee money market fund in Argentina, so that you have a hedge against inflation. We have provided a platform where you can pay 4,000 different services, so your water, your gas, your electricity bill, your cable bill, totally free. Top up your cell phone, totally free. Top up the equivalent of the MetroCard in Argentina, which is the Sube card, totally free. And that democratizes access for a lot of people that previously didn't have access to the system. So we always complain that as you said, the fees are high, but then we wanted a system where there's only 70 banks in the country and over 50% of people never had a card because we charged them for a card. So that's what we're here to break. That's where, you know, we don't want to change the system from within. What we want is a new system that has a more open approach, a more competitive approach, and a more transparent approach to the user.
Excellent. I see. That's great. And how do you work to drive daily engagement in a country that's so financially underdeveloped? So how do you get people to get a Walla card?
So the Walla was the first card that was approved by the central bank to have fully digital onboarding. So you just download the app on the app store. It's only available in Argentina because otherwise we get a lot of foreigners that want to have a card and we cannot give it to them because the central bank won't let us give a card to somebody who's not a resident in Argentina. And it's great to see that people are copying us, which it means that we're doing something right.
So you say people are copying you. I was about to ask, what's the competition looking like in Argentina for you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, as in any successful disruptive industry, there's a lot of people that have a desire to innovate. And you know, they have created products that look, you know, surprisingly like Walla, or have things that are surprisingly like Walla, and that's great. Like, let them do it. And I think I always say that I'm not afraid of competition because I think competition makes us all better. It creates more alternatives for users. And, you know, as in, you don't need to be an expert in economics to know that when there are more than two players in a market, there is real competition. And that means better choices for user, lower prices, and a more competitive, transparent system. So we're all in favor of that.
My next question is a little bit more open-ended. So it's about the gig economies and the rise of gig economies in Latin America. So how can fintech play a part in an increasingly gig economized region?
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the future. I think that work is changing. Automation is doing away with a lot of jobs that we used to think as essential. And we haven't even gotten to level 5 driverless technology, which will revolutionize our societies. So in that sense, jobs are changing. There's a lot more jobs in the service sector. I think an economy like Argentina has amazing potential, given its human talent, to create code and to export code, to provide like apps and technology platforms like Walla that are born in Argentina, that where there is amazing talent. We've been able to hire an incredible team that wouldn't have been able to be possible in another latitude of Latin America. And so what we think is that is the future of the economy. I think that tech is the tech sector. You think about outsourcers like Globan, think about Mercado Libre, probably the best company in the whole of the Americas. Like, these are companies that were born in Argentina that have a global reach and that are transforming the way people work and operate. And I think that's the future of work. So it's not just about gigs, it's about changing the structure. But for that, we need real human capital. And so we need to train human capital. We just launched the project at Walla, where we trained our own people. We hired 10 people that didn't have any experience in coding. We call it Walla Jedi Academy because we're nerds. And we graduated 10 young women that are now integrated into our tech team who didn't know how to code when they joined Walla. They just had a real desire to do it. And so I think that's an amazing future for an economy like Argentina, where you have a great demographic profile, very good educational institutions, and a great potential to export technology services to the world.
That's incredible. That's great. And what do you think the relationship between traditional banks and fintech will look like in the next, say, 20 years? And do you see Latin American governments encouraged by this surge of fintech and technological solutions to things like finance, or not, or are they scared of it?
Well, there are two different philosophies. We're not here to eliminate the banks. We're not here to replace the banks. We think we're here to partner with banks and to be able to provide services to everybody that make banking more attractive for the whole of society. We wouldn't have been able to do it if we didn't have regulators that thought about opening up the system or forcing competition. You know, a lot of the incumbents don't like to compete. And, you know, I'm not saying anything particularly special about that. And so I think that there's a partnership. We don't aim to verticalize everything. We horizontalize. We create a marketplace of different services that are available to more people. And so, you know, we are doing, we have partnership with Western Union for cash-in. We have partnership with four different banks for, you know, like accounts to top up Wala. We have a partnership with the Industrial Bank of Argentina to access the interbank network. We are doing the savings product, which is this money market account that I was telling you about, that over 2 months, 300,000 people are using. So we know in 2 months, we have created 15% of all the savings accounts in the country. And we're doing it in a partnership with one of the largest asset managers in Argentina. So those guys don't have the technology. I have the technology, but they have a good product and they are regulated to do what they do. So doing it together makes it possible that we have a product that is accessible to millions and millions of more people. They get a better experience, they get a better product, and we all win. So I think partnership is the way to go, and it's the future of this sector.
Yeah, definitely. And I also wanted to ask you about how fintech plays into older demographics. So how do you attract older generations that perhaps aren't so familiar with mobile app usage, especially for finances, right? Personal or not. How do you guys work to attract the older generation?
I'm not going to lie. You know, most people that we have attracted thus far are young. So 70% of our users are 30 years or younger. That said, you know, we think that a lot of things are changing, and as we launch new products like this savings product or the lending product where we are doing loans, we have been able to really attract people that are older. And so what you really need to do is provide a product that is simple and that is accessible and transparent. And that's not about age. The young don't really want to go to a banking branch. But the old also want a product that is more transparent. They want to know how much a loan really is. They want to know how much they're going to make and what the fees are for a savings product. And I think that that's what's differential. So as we have progressed and added more services to the platform, we have been able to attract people that are 40, 50, 60. We have a user that is super active and is 85. And she emailed me the other day because everybody that joins Wala has access to my email because, you know, everybody gets a letter from me. And she was telling me about what products she uses. So we learn from our users all the time. And as we expand, I think that the age barrier goes down.
Mm. Well, that's great. That's a really great direct access that is not that common, right? So now expanding our conversation a little bit outside of Argentina into the Southern Cone and I guess Latin America at large. How does this issue that we're talking about using the case of Argentina expand into the rest of the region? So where do you see stronger fintech trends, or where do you see it lacking? Where is there more opportunity? How can the region attract more investment in this sector? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that you know, there's amazing startups in many places. Obviously, Brazil has a huge first mover advantage. I think that they have created an amazing ecosystem led by companies that are like, you know, Neon or Nubank, and Pago Seguro, which is now a public company, also Stone. Those guys have been really amazing, and they started almost a decade ago. I think that in Argentina, we're also doing great work, but you know, there's a lot of places to grow. I think that there are very cool startups in Colombia. I've met some very impressive people from Peru and also in Mexico, where there's a lot of people that are betting that it's a big, big market with a very bright future and amazing talent locally. So I think kind of everywhere. I've even met an incredible company out of Uruguay that, you know, if they were not Uruguayan, meaning that they have a small market, they would be billions of dollars worth because of what they've built. So I think that the whole industry is booming in Latin America. I love to see more funds dedicated to Latin America. We are heavily underinvested as a region. So, you know, that's good. And I think the future is very bright in that sense, because I see a lot of entrepreneurs that are becoming more confident that they can do it and that they can attract the capital to do it.
And this is more of a personal question, I suppose, to you. You said that you lived 12 years in the United States, you studied here, and after 12 years, you decided to go back to, I guess, put your grain of sand in your country and help yeah. in some way. So how was your personal journey towards being where you are now?
Look, I love the United States. I lived there for 12 years, as you said. I studied there. I trained there. I started my career there. But I've always wanted to go back. I've always wanted to, you know, build something in Argentina, to provide jobs in Argentina, to in part prove that we can innovate out of Argentina, where the talent is amazing. And while it was an amazing opportunity, because we've been able to attract the kind of talent that is truly unique. You know, our head of marketing left Google to join Walla before we even had a product. Our head of product came from Gemalto, the big payments company. Our head of development worked at Globant. We have people that joined us from Mercado Libre. The person that runs all of our customer success comes from Mercado Libre. We have our chief of staff moved back from the United States to work at Walla. And now she's transitioning to launching a new business unit for us. And then our CFO left Goldman Sachs in New York to come back to Argentina. So to be able to, you know, bring back all that talent that had spent so much time abroad, and to invest in our country, to create jobs in our country, and to prove to the world that we can innovate out of this country and attract capital like the one we've been able to attract, fills us with joy. And if that means, you know, moving, and you have to do it, because it's the place that saw us, you know, be born and trained. So I think that we have a debt to our country, and I think that we're doing something very good for society that is great business, but also I think it's socially conscious, and it's a Walla doesn't exist without its social mission, which is to really democratize access to finance and to the system in general for all those people that had been excluded before.
Well, that's a fantastic project, and I hope to see more things of the like in Argentina and all around the region.
Thank you. Let's hope it works.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Or? No, thank you for all the work that you do out of the New York to you know, show off Latin America to the world, and to, you know, host our thinkers, our politicians, our business people. And I think I like the idea of a podcast. I think they're blowing up everywhere, and it's great that you guys have one. So thank you so much for your time and for having me here. It's an honor.
Well, thank you so much for coming on board with us and telling us all about fintech in Argentina. And voila.
Great. Thank you.
Bueno, Pierpaolo, gracias.
Gracias.
Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Karin Zissis. This episode was produced by Luisa Horowitz. The music in this podcast was recorded by America Society in New York City. Find out about upcoming concerts at musicoftheamericas.org. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can help us spread the word. Please take a moment to subscribe, share, and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.